Welcome to Talking with the Source, where we bring on well-known and local researchers from around the world to share their experiences and evidence.
Who knows that the moon missions were faked?
As soon as I said, I'll meet you, and she said, oh, darn it, I gotta check the door, make sure the door's locked, because I don't want to leave John's house unlocked. So she goes back to check the door. I go out to my vehicle, and I hear this god-awful scream.
Well, there are 63 races of grays. So most people only think there's one race, and when you say grays, it's a misinformation. There's 63 races. Out of those, one race is a negative extraterrestrial. And what I do is I group them in the negative and the positive. The positive wish to see humanity ascend.
What is your name? My name is Anthony.
Are you ready to unravel the mysteries of this podcast? Join us only on Talking with the Source. Live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on all podcast listening platforms.
What's going on, everybody? What is up, everybody? My name is AJ Capasso. I'm the host of Talking with the Source, here with my two best friends. One on the right of me, well, left of me on your screen, would be Jonathan Keyworth of JK47 Paranormal Investigation. And holding it from the bottom is Sir Chris. Sir Chris, you know it.
Sir Chris.
However you want to say it.
How have you guys been? How have you guys been?
Good, man. You?
Good, man.
Yeah.
Good, you know?
Pretty good.
Hanging in.
Just life, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just life. Oh, yeah. But anyway, we have an amazing guest on today who's going to tell an amazing story. He was in a coma for a month. He experienced a near-death experience like myself. But only thing is his was like none other. So I can't wait to have him on and have him tell us his story. Because there's flips, there's turns, there's twists, there's some crazy things that he experienced, witnessed, and I believe it's very important for his testimony to come out. So let's bring forward Eli. Eli, let's bring him forward. Hold on one second.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for
having
me.
Hey, what's up, Eli? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good, good.
Beautiful day today.
Glad to have you on. Beautiful day today. Beautiful day.
Thanks for having me, everybody.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, listen, everyone's dying to know what happened, what's going on. So, I'm going to let you start off the story.
No pun intended there.
Yeah, no pun intended. You're right.
Okay. Okay, well, it happened in 2021. I contracted COVID. Got sick by my family members. It's okay. It happens. You know. So, I think it was like, I'll start to say, you know, like, my dad was a Pentecostal pastor, you know, I went to church with him, you know, all, you know, the kids and everything and clean, you know, went to services and cleaned and, you know, sang a pulpit and everything. And so, I mean, I think I lost track of God when I went to start working when I was older, you know, I just didn't, you know, it's not that I didn't forget about him. I just wanted to see what's out there in the world, you know, and I think I lost track of that. But we'll start. I just want to put that out there, you know.
Yeah, no problem.
So it was a week before that happened. Me and my fiance wants to go, you know, like go have some fun, you know, like we rented a room and had everyone getting prepared and everything for it. So what happened is I got back home, you know, and my mom was all like, well, we're sick, you know, like might get tested or, you know. So I have my own room. I thought, okay, I'll be fine there now. So a couple days later, you know, we're making still our preparations and everything to go out and do what we got to do, you know. I started getting sick. I started getting fever. First it was fever, then it was cough. Then I thought, okay, my sister's like, well, try this medicine out. You know, I took it and I got better and everything else. And so I thought, oh, cool. It was getting better, so I started getting chills. You know, fever got worse, cough. Give her maybe 4 days around there. My breathing started getting labored. My sister come knocking on my door. You know, well, my fiance was just like, well, you need to go check yourself out. You know, I was hard-headed. You know, I thought, you know what? I can knock this out. You know, it ain't nothing. You know, I knew it was COVID, you know. I'm a hard-headed person, so I just got to do what I got to do. So it was 4 days away before we were going to go out and stuff. And my sister come knocking in. She goes, hey, you know, like, I'm making some breakfast, you know, her signature dish, you know. Man, I was just like, okay, cool. So I was like, she was like, damn, dude, you look like shit. And basically, that's my language, you know. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I was like, oh man, I didn't feel good. You know, my pain increased because I naturally have arthritis, you know, osteoarthritis, what we call it. So I got that in my back and my leg after three surgeries, you know, back surgeries. So I was laying down. I couldn't get up. And I got up, and luckily my mom has a wardrobe out there in the hallway. I live with my fiance now. I used to live with my mom, by the way. So luckily my mom had a wardrobe and I was going, man. My legs were giving out. I mean, my breathing was just like coffee, you know, like it was just, I was going, my lips were blue. I mean, so my sister put out a wooden chair and I sat down and she called 911. 911 called me and tried to keep me going alive and everything. And so they're like asking me for my name and everything. So they're like, okay, we got paramedics on the way. They left the door open. A small lady came and a black guy came. I guess they're EMTs and my leg was gone. It was just my body was giving out. And then the funniest thing, this shorter leader goes, "Don't worry, fella, I'll catch you if you fall." And I was like,
no, you won't.
This little EMT caught me, and I was like, "Nah." So I landed on the bed, you know, and so they just wheeled me out. I looked at the sky and I was just like, I couldn't breathe. Got an ambulance. They first put us oxygen through the nose, you know, a little thing over here, and it did not work. All I know, my eyes were just like going, like it was just all I know. They start putting me like a little mask on my face, just, you know, this little round looking thing with it like that, you know,
bag.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
Yep.
All of a sudden, just no blackness. It was just blackness. And all I know is, you know, voice was just like, forgive me, God. I didn't know this. Everything I've done for you and everything else. And kids, too, they're just like, no, God, I didn't mean it. And when you're going, man, you've seen all their sins. You've seen everything they've done. Just like, it feels like you knew what they did, you know? And all of a sudden, it was just like a quick flash of light, like it was black. And all it seemed is darkness. The place you don't want to end up is in darkness. That's the worst is death. All of a sudden, I land on the floor. Boom. When you die, you forget about it. You forget about everything. You forget about, you know, who you were, what you were, you know, just a family, everything. Where you were, what happened to you, everything. You land on the floor, you know. I died in my spiritual form, basically, you know. I land on the floor, you know. Remind me, spiritual fear is more powerful than physical fear. That means you feel everything 10 times worse. Not even 10, maybe like 100 times worse, you know. Mm-hmm. I hit the floor. Boom. I'm in pain, my back, and I mean, it was hurting. And I was just like, you know, had my hands over my head and I was in the hospital room. I mean, I see my body behind me. Remember, when you die, you can't turn your head. You can see everything in the back of your head, the side of your head. You know, I seen myself on the bed, and I was just curled up. And these spirits, evil spirits, were like, you know, I got you. You're mine. But the voice was like triple. It was like one voice mixed in with others. They were like, oh, you know, like no one likes you. No one loves you. Man, she's gonna leave you. You know, you're pathetic. You're evil. You know, like he is good. You know, they were just constantly at me. You know, So then,
sorry,
I was laying there, and this guy comes in, says this black nurse came in, you know, and he goes, "Hey, how's it going?" I couldn't talk, but it was telepathy basically. Everything was
right.
This guy's pretty nice, you know, black male nurse, and in the back, you know, we have those little things where they connect the, you know, oxygen and everything. He goes, "Well, you see this little thing is going to connect where you can talk." And I'm just like, I was like, okay, what's going on with me? I didn't know I died. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember what happened, why I'm here. The only thing you're thinking is, wow, what's going on? Like, it's just weird. Basically. And on my side, there was a little plastic, it's like a little thing where, you know, where you hang postcards on, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think those were prayers for me, you know? And there was this phone I couldn't reach. It was gold. In reality, my fiance kept on calling me, checking on me and everything. And then, but I didn't know that. I mean, I wanted to get that phone because I knew it was her. You know, it was not that. I just felt her. I felt her worry, her fears. But remember that. It's just not like it's magnetized over 1,000, her feelings, you know, and at the same time, I'm getting tortured, you know, physically, you know, mentally. By these
so at this point, you're actually in the coma and you're experiencing all this through your soul, through your spirit.
And I knew I was on a ventilator. I mean, it showed me I was on a ventilator. I didn't know. How would I know? You know, right. And they threw me on the ground, you know, and, you know, I shit myself. And they're just laughing at me. They're like, "I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go talk to my friends. I'm going to go, you know, screw this woman, you know." I mean, honestly, it is. You've seen it. You see them do that. This couple, these nurses were right next to my wall. You can actually see it over the wall. You can see next door what they were doing. And then all these nurses were reading the emails and everything else and of your private emails of your life and everything. They're just looking at me laughing and everything. And you could feel their entertainment. You could feel they're mad at you. They just want to just destroy you, you know? And then there's this nurse coming over here. There's this worker and the feeling of don't trust this guy, you know, because basically he was a pedophile, you know, and he told me someone told me not to trust him. You know, and it was this nice voice, you know, that other voice, you know, went away. You know what I mean? Like, this nice voice, just like, don't trust him ever, you know. But in reality, I seen these people, you know, when I woke up to at the end, basically, you know, and all the nurses ever taking care of me. So I'm laying there and in a quick second, it didn't even take a minute. It just went boom to another. It was basically I was in a pod and you were reliving everything, you know, your own spheres, you know. So it goes from one scenario to where I'm in this hospital room. It was nice. It was had a cross, always a gold cross, always a gold one. It was shiny. Now the room was padded, you know, it was just like you've been in a crazy ward, you know. And then I'm just laying there and everything else. And first it was a dance hall. And in this dance hall, they were just coming in. Oh, my God, you made it. You know, can't you feel the love? It was just and you're like, okay, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like,
do you recognize any of these people? Were they?
Yeah,
were
at
they
the end. Yeah, every one of them. Every one of them. And they're like, can't you feel the love? You know, mind you, my eyes were closed. You know, I was on a ventilator, you know, before I get to that, my mom, she told me that they put me in a ventilator and they told me I was fighting it because I didn't want to be in one, but I know I had to because they want to save my life. They were going to send me to Austin, Texas in a flight, but they told me that I had to stay in Cairo, Texas to be a treatment there because if they would have sent me to Austin, I would have died in reality. So I was there. So I would go back to, I was under, you know, I had double pneumonia. That's the reason why they put me on the ventilator. And I was 15% of life at that time.
Wow.
And I was laying there. I was experiencing just fear, you know, sadness, you know, and nurses came in and everything, and they were just talking about their lives, you know. They were talking about, oh my God, you know, yeah, my fiance and I moved down here and everything else, and we live in a small wooded area, you know, over here in Texas somewhere. And she was talking about her husband and everything. So, but everything on the other side was broken down. Like, you had wires over your face and everything. Like,
wow.
Were off, everything. Like, basically, just, it was just torturous. It was like being in an asylum that it was even broken down, basically.
Wow.
So then it went. So I was in this dance hall, and you see all these nurses and everything, but they were making you feel welcome, like you were in heaven, basically. You know, it was, you know, to me, it was more like if I would have accepted that love, that sort of love, I would have stood there. You know, I would have welcomed it in my heart, in my soul. You know.
So do you think if you would have accepted that, maybe you would have passed on too? Maybe they were the loved ones pulling you in and saying. Yes. Okay.
I remember my leg kept on going off the bed, you know, and I remember they're like, well, we need to put this leg on, but that leg was weak at the time. So then I remember, you know, throwing my, because I have AFOs, you know, because I have foot drop, you know, I use braces on every time I walk somewhere, because, you know, foot drop is where your foot don't go up when you walk, your toes. So I remember throwing the braces. It was on a stage. And there was all these chairs, and it's as real as you are in your room. That's how the environment was.
Yeah.
I remember, absolutely.
I remember seeing my daughter like going from door to door and everything else. And I remember seeing it. It's weird. You know, even the smell, you know, I felt like it was a dance hall, whatever it was. And I remember seeing the nurse outside the window, that same nurse that moved from here from Texas and everything. I see all these nurses, like it was just a regular day. I can even tell what they're having for lunch, basically, you know, water burger, you know, like things things from the house, you know, salad or whatever, soda water they got from home and everything. So it went from there. It was like a quick, come here. It was, God was like, come here. And a sweet voice. I'm sitting in this chair. It's like a chair. It was just like one of those comfortable chairs, you know, whatever.
Like a recliner type.
Recliner. So I was sitting there. All of a sudden, I hear a voice like, don't move. You know, don't move. Remember, telepathy. It was not actually, you know, like we're talking to each other right now. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, don't move. They're going to take care of you. But this voice, it was the most loving voice you can ever feel. It was love. It was caring, you know. That was God, you know. That was God looking after me. And I remember turning my eyes, you know, and I turned them over here inside my head. I was just like, okay, I seen like the ventilator machines. And then I was like, what's going on, you know? And beside me, I was put into this film. You know how in biology class they see what kind of germs they are and everything. Into this film. Yep. And then this one guy, I guess he was a dad of my sister, the dad of the person that was marrying my sister was getting married. So he put me in this golf bag, you know, and I seen the big old stadium she was getting married in and everything. And, you know, I felt like I was nothing. My family made me feel I was like nothing, basically. Mm. So it took me back to a garage. It was a hospital room garage. You know, it was weird. I remember seeing the steps. It was like beside me, there was like a step going up just to get to my room, but it wasn't. In reality, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't a hospital. It wasn't a hospital room, but it was like a cemented, it was like a garage, basically. When I'm looking outside, like when you're like, you look where you know, we have a garage, basically, the doors up and everything. And you see like a mesh area, a mesh, black mesh. And you can see people living their lives, driving around, going to stores and everything. So then I was laying there, all the wires were on my face and everything, basically just, you know, you're in a ventilator, basically, you know.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden there's this doctor goes, well, I actually got up from my bed. I got up and I was on this washer and dryer. I could see what's behind me. There was nails. There was everything was organized. Nails, hammers, everything. And there was three washer and dryers. There's this TV on the opposite side of the room. Two sofas that were they were black. They were leather black. And this voice goes into this TV and says, you know, like, he was like basically like coughing and breathing like me, making fun of me. And he told this presenter on TV, hey, you know, like, you know, he's here with me till the end, you know, he's not going anywhere, you know, look at him. And this nurse comes in, starts cleaning out my, all the sickness out of the little tube thingy they have, you know, when he had COVID. And I thought, okay, what's going on? You know, like, where am I at? But remember this, you don't think about what's going on, why you were there, what happened, what you ate yesterday. When you're there, that's your new reality. You know, you're stuck there, basically, you know.
Yep.
You feel like that's your new reality now. And it's scary. I mean, like, you know, it's basically like this is your reality, but you're in a new one. You know, I went from there to a Native American. I went to a cave. You know, God was like, come here. He was showing me. And in this cave, he put me there. And the wall crumbles, just crumbles like that. And you could feel the stuff falling off the, you know, like it's crumbling, you know, everything's falling off, hitting your face and everything. Like,
oh, okay.
You could feel it. You could feel the wind. You could feel like the dust and everything flying at you, you know? So then all of a sudden, this guy, I don't know what he's telling you. He's talking some kind of language. I don't know. And I'm seeing in the distance, there's this trees, water. I mean, it's beautiful, man. I mean, it's basically talking to you, you know? I mean, the water you see like in Fiji and stuff, no. This water is so clear, you know? I mean, this time you can feel the love in it, you know? You can feel it dancing. You can feel it just a smile of love, you know?
And then this was in the cave that you were still in?
Yeah, it was in this cave. I think I sent AJ something about it. You still have it, AJ?
Yeah, it's on my phone. I won't be able to put it up on here, but yeah, it's basically a cave, and it's basically something in Arizona where you would see like a hole through, like it's basically like a looking glass through this hole, and it's an amazing cave that you could see right through it, and it's just awesome.
Yeah,
well, and that's what you were seeing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think I got a picture. Give me a second.
Yeah.
I want to see. And this is what I did visualize. And this weird. I found it on Twitter. I was looking through and I was like, oh, that's it. You know,
right. And are you Native American then?
No.
No. Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, maybe I had something to do with that then. Okay. Yeah, I've seen that picture. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I was just thinking about it. I was having this vision, and I was thinking, is this like, it's Sedona, Arizona. There's an archway standing in the middle of nowhere that some have called a gateway to God. According to Native American folklore, people have walked through this fascinating rock formation and really disappeared. There is about the legend range from it being a time portal to it being a gateway to heavens or an alternate dimension. Would you walk through it? You know, well, I feel like it, that wasn't meant for me yet, you know, and
so real quick, Nicole wanted to ask you this question here. Did you have any psychic abilities after your near-death experience?
I did. And it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like, I mean, I know. AJ wasn't feeling good. You know, we're talking, I'm hearing that, but I'm not saying, but I thought, are we still going to have this? Because I know that you were, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I know you weren't feeling good. And I thought, I mean, I was going to ask you, you know, we could schedule for tomorrow, you know, or, I mean, it's just a feeling of knowing, you know, when someone's not feeling good or, right, you know, or if someone's going to come around the corner, I know who it is, you know, basically, it's just the knowing of things, you know.
Yeah.
it's kind of crazy how I felt that. And, you know, that AJ wasn't feeling good. And I'm just like, okay, you know.
No, don't worry. I'm feeling fine. It's just aggravation with people.
Okay. That's all. I was just saying. I feel kind of weird. I felt that. And I was just like.
No, yeah. Yeah, I know. You're not the only friend in this room right now that feels stuff like that. John's the same way, man. He'll call me up randomly and be like, dude, are you serious? And I'll be like, what? And then he'll just tell me what it is. And I'll be like, how did you even know?
You know? I know. But it's sort of like that, like a knowing. It's a knowing, you know. If someone asks me something, yeah, I'll tell you how I feel. I don't know how other people feel about it, but I'll tell you, you know.
That's fine.
Well, they call that empathy. Like I'm an empath, so like I'm like a human lie detector, like, and AJ is as well, and I believe that's your gift as well, you know. I think with traumatic experiences through life, such as NDEs or going to war or stuff, I think it activates some part in your brain where you're able to feel these sensations. And I think with training and meditation that you can develop it even stronger, you know, where you get these abilities.
But is it right by God? I'm kind of like weirded about that because I'm just like, I want to know if it's because I don't want to end up where I'm going to end up again.
No, here's the thing. So this is, I talked about this on my show on Friday, and everybody has a god, okay? So in Asia, in India, they have Buddha, which is their god. And in the Middle East, they have Muhammad, which is their god. And, you know, we have Jesus.
Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a prophet. He was not their god. Yeah, Allah is their god.
Whoever they pray to, Allah.
Well, get it right, damn it. Jesus.
I'm just saying, it's all one source. What I believe in source. I believe, you know, if the world's going to end, we're all praying to the same source to help us through this moment that we need help with, you know. So, you know, with that in respect, you know, we're all praying to that same source. You just call it different names.
It's a higher power, some people call it.
Yes, exactly.
We're talking with the source.
Yeah, we're talking to the source. Okay, so back in this cave, I remember going in. There was this before that wall crumbled. You know, there was this river, same kind of river. You know, it was beautiful. It was like awesome. You know, loving, caring. And there was this 17th century boat. I felt it was 17th century. You know, old boat. You know, it was little. You know, there was something flying in the air. I don't know what it was. And I remember, I was talking to a Native American. He turns to me, and all of a sudden, I look back. And there was this rock platform, and he falls back. He was all dressed in attire of Native American. He laid there, and that's it. He was gone. This lady with black hair comes in, and she goes, "You need to eat. You need to eat." And it was getting cold in there. Like, mind you, it was getting cold. Wow. It was getting icicles. And then all of a sudden, she, you know, God was like, "Come here," takes me. You know, I end up hanging from it was like metal, like metal pipes. But with the metal pipes, they were all melted into my arm. You know.
Wow.
And I was just like this. I was up like this, and you know, people were spraying me. I was done. I was crying. I was just like, "What's going on?" You know, like, I mean, like, that's all I just wanted some peace. I just wanted that. I was thirsty. I wanted that water of love and peace. I wanted it so bad. I was thirsty. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, I remember looking to, I think it was like my left. My left. And there was this clock with metal bars on there. And the clock wasn't going. There's no time or space in there. There's nothing. It's just your own realm, basically. It's your own realm where you're living in. And all of a sudden, they're spraying me with hot water, laughing and having a good time. The ground smelled like sewer, and it was like black and gooey. It was gross, you know. With me, I was a viewer. I feel like I was a viewer. My legs, I didn't really feel my legs. I mean, all I know, I felt the pain. The pain intensified when I was hanging there. I mean, all of a sudden, these things threw me. It just threw me in the cell with these two other people. I didn't even know they were there. That I knew they were there, but I didn't really know they're there. I'm kind of weird, but I knew they were there. I felt them. At this time, God took away my fear of everything of what was going on. What was spraying me, Shannon? What was spraying me? There was just these two black things.
So like, know, a black shadow type entity.
Yeah, thing. But they were thick. They were thick, nasty. They were, but you could see their faces—not face, but you could see their smiles, like, you know, black eyes.
Oh, so you could like see teeth, like a smile.
Yeah, they were just laughing.
Ew.
So basically, it's just force. This force just threw me. You know, oh man, it hurt so bad. I was just like, oh my God, like, God, what's going on? I said to him, what's going on? Right. I can't do this no more. I can't. I'm all tired of it, you know. You know, mm-hmm. And I mean, the pain, you know, I mean, you're in the spiritual warfare, you know, between evil and good, you know. I get up, he gives me enough strength to get up. I'm walking down this corridor. It was nasty. And there was this clipboard, you know, but from there, I didn't know what was going on. I think God just blocked me from that, you know. So then it goes from that. I call this vision Eminem. Okay.
Okay.
I was sitting in this chair. Everything was just normal. Like I'm in this living room, but I'm in this chair. I feel like I'm in this chair. I didn't feel my legs. I didn't feel nothing. It's just me. It's just your spirit, basically. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I seen this. I seen this television set, and there was stuff going on in the TV and everything. On your left side, there was this big old M&M jar. You know what I mean? Like full of M&Ms. And there was a counter. It was, I can't remember. I think it was, I can't remember the name of the damn, kind of as garnet. I don't know, whatever. But anyways, it was Marlboro. And then you see this, and then you see everything, like the stove, you know, dishwasher. I mean, everything, like, I mean, detail, you know? You can smell what they cleaned it with. You can smell, like, the, this thing you sprayed it with, you know, air spray or whatever, you know, right. Air freshener and everything. And you see the coffee table on the back. But remember, when I look back, you're looking back at your head. You can't turn your head. You know what I mean? Like, okay. I'm spiritual.
Yeah, because you're seeing out of the sides and the 360. Back.
Yeah. So then you see the upstairs and everything else, and you see this garage open. And I'm just like, that's weird. And then I'm looking, and all of a sudden, I was in this cop, this female cop came from her face crying. And she goes, it's your fault. It's your fault that you died and my daughter's gone. It's your fault you ended up here. I want my daughter back. She was just tearing up. And she turned me around the chair. There was this playground outside, you know? And I was just like, what? So then all of a sudden, like, I end up in this... There was this ice fishing. People were ice fishing. You know, whatever. It was going from one clip to another. It doesn't make sense. I understand.
Like you're changing channels.
Yeah. Like a lot of people are just like, I'm going from one. Well, that's what it is. I mean, I'm not going to add something that's not
real, right. Right.
Not for you guys.
Are you recognizing any of these places you're seeing? Like, you know, like the M&M jar? Was that like in your house or grandma's house?
No.
Okay.
Well, I just a lot of people say it's like different lives I had, you know.
Okay, yeah, that could be. I was just curious, like that's grandma's house. So I'm having a pleasant memory to try and keep me going, or
you know.
It could be even if it's tied in with the bad stuff.
Did you take you? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, this I don't know. I mean, some of these visions I talk to other people, and that's what I mean. They experienced that in their lives. There's like maybe three of them, you know.
Okay.
But they said that was me, and that was my struggle. You know, so I was actually living theirs.
So the empathy thing, like we were talking about earlier. Then
I didn't know that though until I actually came back.
Right. Awesome. So sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. I go there. You know, I mean, people were just ice fishing, you know, and there was this group of people, this guy, I sat next to him. There was a big old hole in the ground, and there was a couple of trailer homes and everything. And, well, this was my family member, my fiance's family members. I didn't know that until, you know, I actually explained her grandfather, you know, by tea, you know what I mean? I was talking to him, and he would just tell me, he goes, "This is a lovely place," you know what I mean? Like, when you go, you come back here, you know, it's lovely. They're just welcoming me and trying to give me food, some fish to eat. You know, it was lovely. They have drinks in the cooler. I didn't know what they were, you know, and but then we sat there, felt like it was eternity. And to him, he always loved having a tugboat. He always wanted one. He showed me in a little cloud. You know, like, and then all of a sudden, Stuff's like, "Come here," and their heads went, like they felt like they knew it was a vision. They knew it. So then all of a sudden, like, I went from there, and there was a nail in my foot. I was in the back van.
Ooh.
A nail, and I was like, "I mean," the pain intensified. It felt like it was just people were just like, you know, just bleeding my foot.
Ooh.
It was bleeding, and then outside the window. You know, but in that van, there was wood and everything else, all kinds of nails. All it was like a person that actually, you know, did like, you know, like maintenance, basically, van, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then I looked out and there was this mansion in the hill. They were all having fun and everything else. They all heard my tears. I knew it. I felt them. They were just having a good time. So then from then, God just like, "Come here." I was on this boat. It was gold. Oh my, it was gold. You know how the Titanic, they had the, you know, where the people that were, you know, messing with the machinery to make the boat. Well, you know what I mean? Where they go.
Yeah, yeah. The boiler captain, room.
The captain. And the captain.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So, like running the ship and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was
the bridge.
Everything was gold. I loved it there. It was amazing. But you could feel outside it was really freezing cold, you know? You could feel it. You could feel that too as well. So then I'm laying there, and they're like, "Welcome home, buddy. You made it." My mom was like, "Hey, get this guy a drink, you know? He deserved it, you know?" And I was like,
"Wow.
What?" I was like, "Why am I on the boat? I mean, you know, what's going on? You know, like, you know, you went through all that, you know? Like, but there was always a cross on the wall. That meant God." Sounds like you had a memory from another story. Yeah, exactly. Maybe.
Yeah, I said he jumped timelines.
Yeah.
I said that's what timelines. I say.
Yeah.
Because in that other dimension that we go to, you know, once we pass on, there's no space and time because time is man-made. It's just a measurement of moments.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And when you get to that plane, you're able to go wherever you want.
So after you've had your new near-death experience, all of you that have, my theory is that you've broken that barrier now and you've come back. So now you don't have that, whatever you want to call it, the wall, the door, or whatever.
Oh, the veil.
Yeah. The veil. Yes, thank you. I couldn't remember its name for a second. Yeah, you've kicked that to the side and that's no longer there. And so,
oh, yeah.
That's why all three of you are so awesome at what you do.
Yeah, when you're there, like I tell you, you deserve it. I feel like you deserve to be there. From everything you in your past lives or whatever you say, I don't believe in that, but whatever. I mean, you know, like it's you deserved it. You wasted your time in life by doing what you did, so you're there living that life over and over again.
Right.
You know, and so, you're thinking I should have put what's right with what's wrong. I guess. Sort
of like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So how long were you in the coma
for a month? Yeah.
For 1 month. So all this is happening from day to day within a month, you've experienced all these different visions and adventures in the afterlife. That's crazy.
Well, check this out. Right. So when Sam connected with my father, remember he was on life support for 5 days before I took him off. Well, I asked her, "Were you stuck in your body? Or were you in the afterlife already? Like, how did that work?" And he told the medium and then came through the spirit box, said the same thing. that he was back and forth between the afterlife and here. So I'm sure there was times where you could be back in your body. You could probably hear everybody around you.
Yes.
And then there was times where you're back in the other dimension, wherever you were, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
It's wild because, like, you know, you can see, man, when you're in a mental, you can see, you can hear everything. Sometimes you can hear what's going on, so sometimes you can't. I mean, it's just a feeling of people, you know what people are doing to you. You know, like if someone's, you know, like if you're laying there and they turn you around, because they have to do that for bed sores, you know?
Yeah.
But in reality, in your death state, something else is happening, basically, you know? That's what they say.
So do you think every time they adjusted you or something, that's when you would switch to a different place? Or
maybe, I don't know. I mean, they try to come up with different scenarios, you know. They try to put it in your head with just like, hey, none of that happened, basically, you know.
Right. Yeah. You're just, you know? Just a dream.
Yeah, it's just a dream.
Yeah.
Or
a nightmare, depending on the...
that scenario went to, I call it brain surgery. But they didn't even do the brain surgery, but... So I was laying there. I was looking up, you know, and I was seeing this chandelier was a round circle wooden, you know, thing, and that kind of went away. And there was this like little circle, like a little circle. It was like knickknacks, but it was like people basically, and it was a round thing going like a whirlwind. It was going, you know, but it was just doing that. And then these nurses, they come in, and they're like. Mr. Alonso, we found out what the problem was. Do you think there's? I don't know about that. I don't know.
So one of my theories on shadow people, you know, the hat man, it's because ever since the last 2 months, I've been meditating with frequency and stuff. I see black orbs just floating by and stuff, and. I think that's how they present themselves because they're absorbing the light waves that are
in the environment in the room or it could be
they're absorbing it like a black hole kind of
like I was telling AJ like we're talking on the phone and like it's like when someone dies and they think the spirit thinks they're gonna go to another realm but. God will decide where you go. If you were a bad, evil person in that room and you did something bad in that room, kill somebody, God will put you back in that environment. He will suck you up like a vacuum thing.
Yeah.
He will have placed you there. You know, I felt it. It was weird.
You relive it, you know, until you feel the remorse, maybe?
Yeah, like he sucks you back. It's like God saying, no, you killed these people in the room. You were... All this bad environment, all this bad feelings you have towards this person and these people, and you were and I'm not gonna let you go into heaven and corrupt it. So you need to live your existing life there and feel the way people how you felt how you treated other people there in that environment. And that's why when people when those spirits they move when they move up when new people move in they feel that energy. That's the energy that's in that space.
And it's interesting that you say that because, you know, maybe that's why there's residual haunting, you know, of the same spirit walking down the same path, you know.
I'm sorry I changed it about shadow people, but maybe that's the shadow.
No, it makes perfect sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what we like to do here on the show is gain other theories.
That's a feeling that I know. Like
you were there, man. You were out of your body for a month, man.
It's odd seeing that. When you die and you end up like that, it's odd. You're like, where am I? Like, why didn't I pass? Why didn't I go? You know, and no wonder why they get mad because they're confused. Or why didn't I cross to the other side? Was I that bad of a person? And when they feel that way, they're like, well, you know, it's just like when people pass. Okay, I'll show you this before I talk about the surgery one. I was thrown in another, I want to say another story. something. It was like a vision. I'll call them
another vision. Chapter, another yeah, channel. Chapter.
Okay. I was there was this black male and this girl, she was like maybe 12. You see this glass, you know, you see one person working on the computer and another person's computer, right? Old computers, you know. And all of a sudden, somebody tells me, because they're going back and forth walking in the garage. And this person told me, goes, that's why they're there. They deserve it. You know it. You feel it, don't you? Basically. Wow. And you can feel the energy with those people in there. Like they did something. They're stuck there. They're constantly in a loop. You know, basically it's like I was saying, when I come back, I'm going to judge them. I don't know what they did. He didn't tell me what they did. They were just going walking back and forth constantly, but you can see their energy just like they're tired of it. They want to get out of that existence, you know?
Yeah.
No, one of my favorite stories from AJ was when he had an astral projection and he fell asleep and he was able to tell his was it your grandma and your uncle or
my grandmother and my cousin.
Yeah. He was able to say everything they were saying in the other room, you know, and he was asleep in his room and he That's was amazing. Able to tell them everything, you know, and being on that plane, I mean, all these different realms or chapters, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's just amazing that you went through this and you're able to sustain that memory. Because if you think about how hard it is to remember a dream, you know, it the fact that you were asleep for a month, you know, and you're able to remember all this.
Like AJ, you know, you're like, you know, you had that vision, right? You had that, you know, God showed you, right? Like it's like a memory. It's like you going to a store buying a pizza and you're like, oh shit, I remember I get to buy that pizza next month because I like that pizza. It's a memory. It's a placed memory that's not real. I mean, you don't think about it every day, but let's say if you're looking at a TV show, you'll remember it. You'll remember that vision, you know, like it was pristine clear, you know. So let's get back to, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead, man. This is your show, man. We're just little ticks on the back of the dog, man.
Well, I appreciate it. That's why we talk, you know. It's like brain surgery. Okay, I'm laying there. And they're like, okay, we know what's wrong. And they visualize it. They like, you can see, and you know, I'm not looking at the computer they're having. You can see what's going on. Okay, we found, okay, it was like, I think frontal lobe. I don't know where I was, right here, right? They're
right there. Third eye.
They're like, okay. And then they show me another clip, like a vision, sort of like a cloud. And it shows me walking out the HEB. It's like a grocery store in Texas. They show me walking out, me getting hit by a car. I could feel the impact. You know, I hit the ground, you know, like the smell of the cement and everything, you smell everything. And I'm just laying there, it's like, this is how you died. Don't you remember? And I'm just like, you don't remember what happened. You don't remember why. I mean, you do not remember how you died. It's weird. You don't. I mean, you're in this realm where it's a new realm to you, you know, like all your place memories are gone.
That is true, because I didn't remember how I died either. I just knew when I came back how I died, but I wasn't thinking about it when I was over there. That's weird that you said that. I never thought about that.
Mm-mm. It's you're right here. You're right here. Like if you had your past lives, you're not going to remember that because you're right here. You're in this time loop, you know, you're in this place, you know? So I'm laying there and I mean, I can see like a TV set. I can see like a big TV. I feel like I was there before in life. I was there. It felt like a hospital room, but it wasn't. And you can see this black cushion sofa thingy with little bars on the side. You can see a nurse working over here in the restroom. You can see a downstairs going. Now, remember, in that vision, I was constantly there. And I escaped on a blimp. It's kind of weird, you know. But in this blimp, I guess they were having a party that I was die, basically. I could see all these cars going into the garage. They were happy I was going to die, basically. Oh, they were happy. And so I escaped, and I was in this blimp. In this blimp, there was like TV sets and everything, you know, like 1950 TV sets, you know. Yeah. And I was going, I landed, and I was like, the feeling I'm home. And the feeling of, you know, when you go home, you're like, oh, finally, it's a long day at work, you know, I'm home.
Yeah.
So I get off, you know, I'm not walking, but I glide, you know. And all of a sudden, like, remember, guys, everybody's death is going to be different. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm walking. I see a nurse. I'm not a nurse. I see a doctor. His white long thingy the doctors wear, you know.
Gown, yeah.
And yeah. Walking and everything
like
else.
I see gown, like, yeah, they would yeah. Tie around the waist.
Oh, yeah. I see the triage, the nurse station, and everything. I see my mom on my right hand side. She goes, oh, I got to go back to work. Oh, I can't believe he made it. And I'm like, you know, it was a tree, you know what I mean? So yeah. I thought, fine then, I'll just go back. So then all of a sudden I'm going back, you know, and all of them, it's kind of weird how I just remember this. I see a dumpster, you know, it was like a quick memory right now. I see a quick dumpster, you know, and people were just throwing away stuff. And it was a city, you know, and I think I was trying to escape them also, but I can't remember. That's kind of weird. I'm remembering little bits right now. So then I go from there. I'm in this big old wheelbarrow, you know, in this trash, and I'm trying to get out. But reality is, you know, when you're in a ventilator, they tie your hands down. So you don't, if you wake up, you can't pull it out, you know?
Yeah.
So I was stuck then. I was like, please help me. I want to get out of here. Help me, please. And people were felt like it was a subway, not a store, subway store. It was in the sub area, subway thing. And they were eating, they're just making fun of me. They're like, you know, you're stuck here. You ain't going anywhere.
Oh,
basically, you just clear their mind. You're like, look at this pathetic guy. He's just laying there saying that. You know, whatever, dude. And basically, and so this guy opens the door. I leave, somehow leave there, you know. And I'm in this hospital room. I'm laying there. I feel like I have a beard, you know, and I can say it now because, you know, I talked to the guy already. He kind of like, you know, blocked me already. Really, you know, that was really him in life, you know. So he told me I could tell my story, you know, his story. He was a truck driver, you know. He had some family members, some family stuff going on or whatever. And he just lost it, you know. And in his past life, he was a trucker. He went into a truck station, a gas station, whatever, truck station, truck stop, whatever. And so he was in the bathroom, and he was putting gas. And I could see all these memories when I was in his bed, when I was him. There was a black nurse right here, black female nurse. And in the floor, it was all black. You could see the window, and you could see the light coming from the ground, you know, because the window. And they're like, we'll take care of you. Don't worry, nurse says. But I was that guy. And then this spirit in his mind was like, if I get you out of here, you know, we'll let you go. We'll let you live. We'll let you live your life. So then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm in this courthouse scenario. You know, if it smelled like a courthouse, it felt like a courthouse. Everything you felt when you walk into a courthouse, like you're in trouble, basically, you know. So then on second landing in this room, you can see a black shadow. And this black shadow, it's a nasty black shadow, but they make you do things you don't really do in real life, basically, you know. They're really conniving little things, you know. I say little things because they're really little things. So they just come off as big because they want to frighten you. So anyways, they put a fake gun in my hand. They say, if you kill this guy, we'll let you go. So then I'm about to shoot this guy from whatever, another country or whatever. And these cops bust in and they're like, ha, 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 ha. You think we're going to let you go? I mean, their eyes were black as black and they were just laughing at me. That's, you know, you could see their uniforms. Everything was just, feel like it was real. You know, the cologne, the nasty breath. I mean, it was disgusting.
Cologne.
You could see everything. Yeah, you could smell everything on them. Everything. These bad instincts, they know how to trick you that it's real. It's not. They can add in more things than you could think of. You know, the boots they were wearing, you can see the boots, you can see the shirt, you can see everything. You can see like the
scars on their hands or like everything is so detailed.
Everything you could think of, you know. So it goes from that guy was like, come here, who takes me over here. And I call this family betrayal, you know. I felt like my mom was in cahoots with these nurses, you know. And in this scenario where I was at, you know, they were pouring some liquid down my mouth, you know. And I mean, I could feel the calculations, I could feel it was cold, you know. And it was a feeling, it was a surreal feeling, you know. And all of a sudden, like, they put me on the shelf like a doll, like a teddy bear doll, like whatever it was. And they're like, it's okay, you'll feel better soon, you'll get out of here, don't worry. I felt like there was always someone beside me, a God, you know. He was showing me all this stuff. Basically, I was going through my own hell, basically. And you see all these certain people that will pay in life later that they're paying now. And you see them just like having a good time. Like it's some gathering that, you know, I'm in this place, you know, basically like they're having fun at my own expense. You know, I could see the fan next to me. I could see a refrigerator. I feel like I was in Austin because it was like this big old, it was a glass, but it was going up like a pyramid. And it was snowing that year. And I was basically in life. My mom didn't treat me very well. She uses people. She puts them in the back of the shelf whenever they need them, basically, you know? And then God told me, don't trust those people. Love them, but don't really trust them. It's just that feeling of be careful around them. Still love them. Still love the ones that they're your family, but stay the distance, you know?
Let me ask you this real quick. So your empathic abilities, did you have this before you went into the coma?
No.
And when you came out after, you're able to feel kind of what people were feeling and kind of thinking? Yes. That's interesting.
The whole time I was in there, I felt them. I felt it was like a party. I felt like it was just like oh my God. Like, you know, like, you know, from there, you know, I'm in water. I'm floating in this river. That's it. I was going. But I was leaning over a trash can, one of those metal trash cans with little holes in them.
Yeah.
So I see my brother, my mom, my sister. I see what kind of clothing they had. And I told them later on when I woke up and they were shocked. But they were outside a hospital bay, you know, and they were talking to these two female nurses, heavy set nurse and a skinny nurse, both Hispanics. And they're like, well, you need to put a trait in them, you know, because I have a trait right here on my throat. Mm-hmm. They need to put a trait to so we can make them live, you can feed them, live, well, you can live. They're like, well, we don't think so. You know, we don't think we're going to do that because we don't think he's going to make it. You know, basically, we heard them, and I was floating this water. I was floating away already, and then this big old hand goes, "Come here, what's God? Come here." He stood me up like in this pool that was up to my knees, and it was communication basically. Like I could feel my phone. I had a phone in my hand. It was gold, and it was like these strings coming out of my phone. And you could feel like these wavelengths going in my head. Just like, it was weird. It was scary. Basically, it was like you know, like it was weird.
Yeah, like a puppet, like strings, a puppet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. So then, somebody sits me down. There's a pulpit right there, small pulpit. There's behind me. There's just like, you know, it's a storage basically. And there was a hook on my shirt, like this black hook. I see from my left, my parents, my mom, sister, whatever, brother came to see me, but they were going the opposite way because my room was jammed. one of the nurses was jamming it, you know, trying to jam it and everything. So I tried to get up, and all I remember there was this hook kept on tugging me not to get up, and I kind of like shit myself, you know. And all of a sudden, like, you know, it took me to a town. In this town, we were snowed in, small little town. We had a tower, like with a clock on it, brown buildings. And I went to this building, and it was a clothing store. My daughter was running around like with her head chopped off, whatever, you know how you say it. You know, she was just running around like it was nothing, you know, so enjoying the time. And this pulpit, big old pulpit, I looked up and I see this guy who was pointing out like this. And but in reality, like a couple of months when I moved in with my fiance, like I got a hold of my friend, and I was trying to check on both of them. And one of my friends had died 2 months before I came down with COVID, you know, and he died of COVID and cancer. So I didn't know he died, and he was there in afterlife with me. I'd seen him, but I just thought it was another vision, you know, basically. Yeah. So I mean, it's kind of weird how he died a couple of months before I went to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So that, you know, that went into like just back into my room. I was just like there again, you know, wires over my face and everything. There was this golden retriever who was breathing on me, you know, and it was just this comfort feeling of, you know, don't get up, you know, basically, you know, just relax, you know. And then these nurses were just, they're like, I think they were, I felt they were training nurses. They were going in the hallway and everything else. They just all looked at me, you know, with these weird eyes, black looking eyes, you know. Sorry. And this is not in order, you know. And then this Oriental girl, little small girl, you know, I seen her in life too, basically in the hospital too. But she jumped on me and started tearing out my throat, you know, and she was and she goes, I gotta do this, stand still, you know. And I seen my brother's kids like with the a divider with their laptops or whatever, and it was awful, man. It was awful experience, you know. And it goes from that to I was laying in bed and everything, and I seen this Apache helicopter, you know, circling the whole complex, you know.
Yeah.
And I was frightened. I was just like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I seen this red button, you know, and I wanted to press it, you know, and I couldn't move my hands, you know, and that was like scary, you know, like, I remember these things, you know, I went from one vision to another where these things were attacking my fiance and what do you call it?
You basically experienced so much that it was just, yeah. I mean, for a month being in a coma, that's a very long time. So all the things that you experienced was well beyond what, you know, you can only imagine to be. So
yeah.
I know we can go on for days talking about this. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but
yeah,
we'll have to have you back on and have you talk about more.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, man, for what you went through, man, God bless you, man, and I'm glad you're here.
Well, I'll tell you one more vision, and we'll go. Okay. And
have you ever thought of writing a book about your story?
Oh yeah, I did, but it's still, you know, I don't know how, but what kind of channels I go through about that. You know, it's kind of hard, you know.
My mom's wrote a couple books. I can probably get you some help.
It's long. Yeah, cool. It's long. You know, it's. I mean, there was this, but the last vision, I was laying there. You know, my family got caught out by cheat or doing some messed up stuff, you know. So then I was there, I was laying in bed and everything else, and God, something approached me, and I was like, God, I'm tired, take me home, you know, basically. And it was this warm feeling, this love. I knew it was God. I knew it was. And when I was looking behind him, you know, I couldn't look behind him, but I felt like I was, but I was when I was there and everything else, I was laying there. And I seen his sandal in his feet, you know, and most lovingest experience ever, you know, and he was telling me to get up, family, family, family. Just like your new family comes first more than anything. And he had told my mom and like, he showed me a cloud and he was telling my mom, he was like, don't, you know, stop walking away from him basically, you know, yeah. You know, help your son out, you know what I mean? And I remember he showed me this Native American beat, you know, and it was that mixture with old time horns, you know, like those horns were just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, and it was a loving experience, you know? And all of a sudden he goes, are you ready to go home? You know, and I woke up and I was at what did I say, 5% of life?
Yeah.
You know, they were about to unplug me, woke up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
I have a question for you, if I may. Why do you think you got brought back or you came back?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, you know.
I think it's to tell your story, man. That's what Spirit's telling me. You need to write the book.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, basically, it's, you know, my fiance was contacting, you know, was worried about me too. She's contacting me, you know. She was actually texting me and everything on my phone, knowing it was off and everything. And I think that's what brought my, that was reality for me.
Yeah.
That little portal, you know, basically.
Yeah, you had that connection.
Yeah, the connection with her, yeah. And that's why I'm back, you know what I mean? Like, I'm back because I'm supposed to be with my family and raise my family in a good way, you know? And
there you go.
I went from hell and back. I know it wasn't burning down there, or, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
the title of your book right there. Right
there you go.
The hell and back. And follow up. Did it do like on movies when you woke up? You know how you always do the little.
Yeah. Well, when you woke up, you wake up. You're like, you know what I mean. You're out of, you know, like when you're in the hospital. You're like, well, you won't just wake up. You're like,
I've had things, but nothing ever like that. Yeah. So.
Like, when you land in your body, you're like, you know, it's like, you know, all that pain. I cried to God, and I was like, why didn't I go home with you? You know, basically, you know, my thoughts.
Right.
And I remember they're playing like all these crime shows. I was like, I didn't want to see that. I was watching cartoons. After everything, I'm like, come on now. Like, shoot, I'm in.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but Eli, thank you so much, man, for coming on. I want to have
thank you
come
you, buddy.
On again because there's so much more that we have to talk about. Me and you got a chance to go over all of it on the phone, so that's why I wanted these guys to hear it.
Yeah.
But,
it was amazing, buddy. That was simply amazing.
Amazing story.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
No, anytime. And
my saying was, when I was laying there, too, my saying was, if you could just listen, you can hear me.
Love that. Love that.
That's why, you know.
That's the truth.
You know, some people use all this equipment and stuff like that. It's like, just go in there. Just, you know, just hear me. You know what I mean? I'm going through some stuff too, but, you know, just understand me if I'm going through my own hell while I'm trying to entertain you guys, basically. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, amen to that.
And you also think too, those double spirits you hear on there, maybe that's those evil spirits trying to not have them say what's going on their side, because you basically got to live your own life before you cross over. You know, they're not going to tell you everything, what it feels like to be on their side. Yeah, every death is experience. I mean,
that's what I tell everybody, every episode I'm on. You got to love yourself before you can love others. You know, you gotta truly love yourself, you know, before you can pass it on. So
it's terrible. It's something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy to go there. You know, all I say is be right by your God, be right by God, you know, because you never know when you never know when you're going to live the next day or not.
Exactly. It could happen at any moment, any moment.
Yeah. Tuesday, 9:47 a.m.
Yep.
Well, you jinxed yourself.
No. Well, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Eli, awesome. Awesome.
You're amazing. Thanks, absolutely freaking awesome.
All right, my friend. Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on. We will definitely talk soon, brother. And tell the family I said hello.
Okay, man. You too.
God bless.
See ya.
So, guys, tell me what you think, man.
That dude needs a book.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Spirit's telling me he needs to tell his story. Yeah.
I was thinking that, like, 5 minutes in, I was like, okay, this ain't short. This guy needs a book from, no pun intended, from
for 30, him. Yeah, for 30 days.
He needs a Bible.
Yeah.
I bet he could even get a movie deal. That would be a crazy movie. I would watch it.
Yeah. But I'm so happy we were able to have him on. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Everyone who's listening on the podcast channels, on Apple, on Google Podcasts, Amazon, all that. Thank you so much for listening. Please hit the follow button when you see us on any of the podcast listening platforms. And also head over to all our social medias. Follow us on there for all upcoming shows and news. And go and visit these guys' stuff, JK47 Paranormal Investigations and Sir Chris on Facebook. Check them out. And but anyway, John, shout out your show real quick so we can get out of here.
Yeah, man. Check out Targeting with the JK47. It's on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Great show.
Box sessions, and then that Thursday I'll put out the best review. If you check out the last one, it's crazy. There's one response is so clear, so precise, and it bewilders me how this happened. So guys, check it out.
All right, my man. Well, until next time,
what about your Friday show?
Oh shit. Fridays, legit, podcast.com. I'm on, the legit channel as well. 8:05, mountain time, 10:05, correct time, according to King Mike, Eastern time. I dig into live investigations. Last episode we were talking about Aleister Crowley.
I wasn't able
to do it in one episode, so part two will be this Friday. We're just now getting into where he started conjuring stuff up, and it's really weird the coincidences that, because he never closed the portals. That's the thing. He always said he did, but he never closed the portals, and that's when stuff started showing up. So it's interesting guy. He's an interesting guy.
Absolutely. Well, make sure to check out his shows and make sure to check out more of Talking with the Sources. We have on next week Bob Ginsburg, who is going to be another near-death experiencer, I believe. So it's going to be awesome. So check it out. But we'll see you all next week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Love y'all. Love and light. Love and light.